the central air conditioner, and the handy guy. When to maintain, when to service, and when to call the professional. Up next on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the handy guys themselves, Brian and Paul. What a concept!
Welcome to another episode of the Handy Guys Podcast. I'm Paul.
I'm Brian.
And we're here today to talk about what you need to do during this hot season, at least the approaching hot season. Well, at least in the Northeast and the North, I suppose if you live in the Southwest or the Southeast, you've already had to turn on your air conditioning, your central air. But for most of us around the country, or a lot of us, you haven't even turned on your central air conditioning unit yet.
Well, you have yours. I haven't turned mine on yet.
Yeah, that's right. I've turned mine on because it's become very humid, and I can't deal with it anymore. And Brian, you know, your studio right now is about 100 degrees.
So not quite that hot.
I really wish you would turn it on.
Next week, we'll have it turned on.
So we thought, you know, Brian, for a handy guy, we can fix a lot of things, but quite frankly, the air conditioning unit is a big, huge, silver, unknown box for most people.
And yeah, there's not much I'll do with the AC unit, right. Quite frankly.
And usually if you do try to, well, you shouldn't do anything because you're just going to break it or do more damage. There's some basic maintenance things you can do, and we're going to talk about that. And, you know, we really need to bring in an expert, I think.
That's a good idea.
So what we decided to do was to bring in Bill Cunningham from Lennox, and he is an expert and in charge of the residential cooling for Lennox, the Lennox company.
Right, and they make a full line of air conditioning units, so we'll get some good advice from Bill. But before we do that, let's give out our contact information. All right, Paul?
Yeah, Brian, you can call us at 615-676-0877. No one ever does. We get occasional calls, but the fact is, the best way to reach us is
on our website. Fill out the contact form at www.handyguyspodcast.com, or just send us an email, us@handyguyspodcast.com.
And Brian, I'm telling you that we've had a lot of communication in recent weeks through not email, not voicemail, not through our website at all, but through
Twitter.
Yeah.
How about
so
that, huh?
You can find us on Twitter at Handy Guys Podcast, or excuse me, just Handy Guys.
Right.
And if you want to send us a direct message, you would do it at Handy Guys using the at symbol, or you can do a direct message at, what is it, D?
Right.
D, then Handy Guys. You got to learn Twitter because it seems like there are just everyone's
on
Twitter.
You got to be able to craft your question to us in 140 characters or less.
Right. But maybe you can just say, hey, I got a question. I need to do it longer. And then you can email us or something. But just get our attention. We're there. We're on Twitter during most of the regular business week, not so much on the weekends, but we'll check it and we'll get your request. So you can reach us there if that's your desire. So up next, we're going to talk to the expert on central air conditioning units from Lennox.
Want great deals on tools that the handy guys recommend? Click on the Our Store button at www.handyguyspodcast.com.
Here we have on our podcast Bill Cunningham from Lennox, and he's the expert for residential cooling. Thanks, Bill, for being on the podcast.
Hey, guys. I really appreciate you having me out.
And great. And one of the things we want to talk about particularly is the fact that a lot of the handy guys that listen to our show usually have air conditioning units in the home. Most of us, some of us, I guess, are still without central air. And when you have a unit like this, it's sometimes just one big black box. And you're not sure what to do with it, especially if it malfunctions. So we hope to talk on this podcast and discuss a little bit about what are some of the maintenance items that a handy person around the house needs to be concerned with as far as their central air conditioning, and also what to do, you know, when to call an expert, when to know when you call an expert if, you know, when things go wrong. So hopefully, Bill, you can help us out here.
Yeah, hopefully so. Absolutely. I'm excited about this. This will be good.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on. And Brian, why don't you fire off? I know you have a question for Bill, and you go ahead.
I sure do. Bill, you know, I haven't turned on my air conditioning yet here in Southeast Pennsylvania. I've gotten a few complaints from my studio mate here, but it's, you know, I'm probably going to do that this weekend for the first time. And what do I do if it just doesn't cool? The fan runs and nothing else happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you, I mean, if it's just not cooling at all, I'd say the first place that I would start would be the thermostat. You know, all too often, sometimes there are battery-powered thermostats instead of actually being wired into the house electrical system, and that's not too uncommon. And a lot of times, homeowners don't recognize that maybe the batteries have just died in the thermostat. Hmm. So, first and foremost, I'd go to the wall and go to the thermostat and make sure that it's lit up. If you have power to the thermostat, you know, we can move from there, but certainly that would be the first place that I would check.
How long do those batteries typically last?
You know, they're typically AA batteries, and you can sometimes get a year, sometimes 2 years out of them before having to replace them. You know, very similar to smoke detectors and other items around the house. You know, it's important to check them often and make sure that you've got good quality batteries in there.
Bill, now is it the automatics, the thermostats with setbacks, or generally the ones that require batteries to run on batteries, or are there other kinds?
Okay, absolutely. No, it certainly would be more of a more modern thermostat. The old Mercury style thermostats certainly are not going to fall into this category. That's a great point.
So when you go with one of these automated setbacks, you need to make sure that the batteries are in it, or you know, may not even turn on the device or your unit.
Absolutely. Yeah, certainly. Absolutely.
Okay. Good point.
Yeah, and from there, certainly the next step would obviously be the breakers. You know, all too often, sometimes if you haven't been running your system all year, it may have had a breaker trip. If you've had power outages during the wintertime, for example, it's not too uncommon to find that your breakers maybe have tripped. And so that would be the next logical place to go. If your system's not turning on at all when you start it up for the season.
And you've got a couple of breakers there, right? There's probably a separate breaker for the fan and a separate breaker for the condenser. Is that correct?
No, that is absolutely correct, yes. The indoor fan motor will have its own breaker as well as the outdoor unit, so certainly you're going to want to check both of them.
Okay. And you wouldn't have heat in the wintertime if the fan motor, let's say, breaker was tripped.
That's a great point. You know, and even adding into that as well, oftentimes in many parts of America, the U.S., code will require that there's actually a light switch near the indoor furnace box. And sometimes homeowners will turn that off inadvertently, not knowing that they've just turned off their heater and air conditioning system.
Right. In fact, in a lot of...
We talked about that on a previous show.
Yeah, we've had, in some areas around here, they require a switch to be at the top of the steps to the basement as well. A lot of times that gets flipped off. I know when I moved into one house, the movers did it for me. So I didn't even, you know, they were looking for a light switch. And because it was a low ceiling in an old house, it wasn't, you know, usually they try to set it real high. So it's obvious that it's not the light switch, but not in this case. So the first night in my first house, the first morning, I didn't have any hot water. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I know in my house, for example, coming up into the attic, both the light switch for the attic and the switch for my indoor unit are right next to each other. So it would not be too difficult to accidentally turn off the wrong switch.
Sure. Okay, so that's a good point. And the other thing you mentioned, you have battery-operated thermostats, but they still require a low-voltage charge that goes to them, correct?
So you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, typically, do the newer ones require a low-voltage connection or just the older style?
No, you know, there are certainly two different types of thermostats. There are thermostats that do have low-voltage connection from the house power, and those typically don't require the batteries. But there also are very commonly sold at the Home Depots and Lowe's stores, battery-powered thermostats that do not require house
electricity. All right, so if you have, so you can have either style. I know that mine... Currently, I still have an old-fashioned variety. It's not digital or anything, so I assume it's got a low-voltage connection, but it's really easy to test that connection with a voltage tester.
Absolutely.
And you're going to have some visual indications there, too, Paul. Like, I know mine is a real basic thermostat, but there's a little light on it. It just kind of glows yellow. So
not mine. Mine's the bare bones builder grade special.
All right. So we've checked the thermostat. We've checked the breakers. I'm still not getting cold air. Is it time to call a repairman?
You know, there's one other area that I always recommend everyone check, and that is the disconnect on the outdoor unit outside.
Oh yes.
There is a little gray box often right next to the air conditioning unit on the outside of the house, and sometimes You know, kids will just play around with it and disconnect it, or maybe even a lawn guy or a service guy who's been around your house recently may inadvertently disconnect it. And that's certainly a place to check before you call your contractor
out. Right. So they put that disconnect out there so that it can be you can service the unit and cut off the electricity if somebody's servicing the outdoor unit. And that is just usually a lever that goes up and down?
Typically either a lever or a little electrical block piece that you can pull out to disconnect. But you're absolutely right. That is absolutely the function of it.
Okay.
Let's say I'm turning my AC on for the first time in the season and I expect it to work. Is there any maintenance things I should do before I crank it up for the season?
You know, there absolutely are certainly things that a homeowner could do DIY on their own. First and foremost, change the filter. One of the number one killers of compressors is dirty filters. So to help protect your system and maintain its efficiency, making sure that you have clean filters is very important.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought you'd say. And that's one of the things I've neglected to do in the past year. So it's on my to-do list.
Well, time to change the filter then.
But
and absolutely. And you know, another area that most homeowners don't recognize that they can do is cleaning the outdoor unit coil as well.
Oh,
you can do this yourself with just a simple garden hose and taking it to the outdoor coil and blowing out some of the leaves and the dust and the dirt that may have collected in the fins on the outdoor unit.
So
we recommend that takes place a couple times a year.
So that's interesting. So you can just go ahead and spray that unit, not worry about doing any damage or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm talking low pressure.
Right.
Don't break out your high pressure washer
sure.
to it, because that certainly will create some damage to it.
Right. You can bend those fins fairly easily, but you can certainly give it a good washing a couple of times a year.
Yeah, and typically all it takes is just a steady flow from your garden hose. You know, take off your sprayer attachment and just take your steady flow from your garden hose and just run it through the fins, and that'll actually provide a cleaning effect to the outdoor unit, which will maintain your efficiency and also make sure that your unit is able to perform at its peak performance.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
Okay, so I've done all those things. I've changed my filter. I've cleaned the outside unit. My thermostat has good
batteries in
it.
I don't believe you, Brian. You never keep up with all that stuff.
And then, you know, my disconnect is not disconnected, and my breaker's not tripped, and the fan's running, and I'm still getting hot. So I got to call someone in.
I'll tell you what. I think it's time we go ahead and contact a professional. Absolutely.
Bill, one thing I have, Brian and I are both handy. We try to do almost everything around the house. You know, we've finished and we put on additions and we've done building, we've done electrical, you name it, we've done it. But I will say we have a lot of respect for the HVAC professionals for a couple reasons. One is they understand the systems way better than we do. And two, they have all the specialized tools that you just don't go and pick up at the home center that can help diagnose problems. So.
Absolutely. No, and I think that's a good respect to have for them, because it certainly is a very specialized trade, and they do know what they're doing best. So any good Lennox contractor or other local contractor would certainly be worth calling out to look at it after we've gone through this initial diagnosis.
So tell us, just for curiosity, not that we would be able to do this, but what are the sorts of things that they look for and test when they come on site?
You know, most contractors will start very, very much redoing what the homeowner's already done, checking to make sure all of the switches and breakers are done. Beyond that, oftentimes they'll start doing electrical troubleshooting and also troubleshooting the refrigerant charge. Sometimes you may find that the air conditioning system is actually blowing air, it's just not blowing cold air. And a lot of times that's indicative of either a low charge or a failed compressor. So those are the areas that the contractor would actually probably go directly to.
Okay.
And so how do you know your contractor is not going to try to rip you off? Not that a Lennox contractor would, but how do you know that they're not going to say, yeah, you just got to get a whole new system? I mean, what's some guidelines there for when you need a new system versus it's worth repairing what you have?
Yeah, and you know, first and foremost, I would say, as with any contracting service, certainly, you know, check out the contractors. Make sure that they're properly licensed. Make sure that they have the proper insurance before selecting a contractor. And it's not out of the ordinary to have one or two bids get a second opinion. on the system as well. Mm-hmm. So ask your neighbors, ask your friends, go with a trusted contractor, or, you know, as you mentioned, certainly Linux partners with a lot of good contractors as well. And we have a list of them on our website as well, linux.com. Beyond that, you're going to want to select a contractor that you're most comfortable with. And you ask the question, when do I know it's time to change my system rather than repair it?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's different for every homeowner. Certainly if it's out of the warranty period, it's getting up in age, 10 years plus, you have to have a conversation with the contractor as to whether it makes sense for you to go ahead and make that change. With the higher efficient equipment that's out today, it could actually even save you money on your electrical bills by making an upgrade to a new, higher efficient system. Something else is, I don't know if you guys are aware, the government's currently issuing federal tax credits for high efficient systems. So if you were to upgrade your system or replace your system today, you could even be eligible for up to $1,500 in a tax credit from the government.
Right, because it would be save energy, I suppose, on an older system. Is that true even on a system that's, say, only 10 years old or so?
Absolutely, yeah. The way the tax credit's written right now is it actually applies to high-efficient systems, and it doesn't matter what you're replacing, just as long as you're putting in a high-efficient system.
Can you tell me, Bill, if you have a general kind of generic basic builder-grade system that's in a newer house, what kind of lifetime can you expect from a system like that?
Those systems we typically see 10 to 15 years on.
Okay.
It's the typical lifetime service life of a builder-grade central air conditioning system.
And
that would be expected.
Okay. So, it really doesn't take that long, even if you're in a new constructed house, that, you know, it's not that long before you need to start thinking about a new system.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, certainly. And like I say, once it's out of warranty, the, recurring cost of the system, of repairing a system, could certainly make it worthwhile just to go ahead and change it out.
And what about some of the newer, you know, say Linux units, the high efficiency units? Are they still about 10 to 15 years expected lifespan?
Those certainly we expect to extend beyond the 15-year range. 15 years is typical of a higher end system. We have stories abound of homeowners who have been living with some of our high-end efficient systems for 20 years beyond even. So certainly I would expect that as you're putting in a more high-efficient, higher-quality system, you would expect to get about 15 years plus out of it.
Okay.
And what kind of features on a higher-end or a better-quality install, let's say that, you know, you're gonna swap everything out except the ductwork, and what kind of features are you going to look for in those new high-efficiency systems?
Well, efficiency, obviously, is first and foremost, right? Such as, for example, our XC21, which is one of the industry's highest efficient systems, will provide extremely high efficiency. But it also brings in two-stage operation, which helps reduce the humidity in the home, improves the comfort, allows a homeowner to enjoy more even cooling throughout the home from room to room, and also it allows the unit to provide just the right amount of cooling. So it minimizes the amount of overcool or undercool in a space.
Yeah, I've noticed that in my house, which is only about 5 or 6 years old, is, you know, it's cool, and then it brings the house to temperature, the unit shuts off, and then you have a period where you feel humid again. Right?
Sounds like it's oversized.
I don't know. I had someone tell me it's undersized. So, you know, I don't know who to believe or what to believe, but I think... You know, I think the key thing there is what Bill mentioned, Paul, is that's the two-stage unit, meaning that it can run at a lower speed and provide a more even cooling and not cycle on and off quite as much. Is that right, Bill?
That's absolutely right. You hit it right on the head, and that's exactly the function of it. And you mentioned the oversizing, and certainly the two-staging even protects against that. It keeps that full capacity for when you really need it in the heat of the summer, but has that lower capacity second stage whenever it's a little bit more mild outside.
So, Bill, my house is about 6 years old, and so I can possibly expect to have to upgrade my unit or replace it in about another 6 years or so. Let's say my house is about, I think it's about 2,300 square feet or so, and I can't tell you exactly the size. I'm guessing it's a 2-ton unit, maybe, 2.5-ton.
Okay.
Anyway, my question is, if I want to start budgeting for a new unit, can you give me like a general price range of what I can expect for a replacement unit for a high efficiency unit?
Sure, absolutely. And the prices will range and sure. vary widely across the country.
I'm sure that.
Application.
Right.
But on average, you can look for it to be somewhere in the $6,000 to $12,000 range for an entire system replacement.
Okay.
That's a pretty good rule of thumb and an average price across most of the country. And I would expect it is an investment for the home. But
sure.
again, it's an investment in energy efficiency and comfort for the home as well.
So if you have in mind somewhere between, say, 6 and 12, and I assume that it varies, like you said, because of different parts of the country, they have to size it differently, access to your space, how difficult the install is going to be, and also which model you choose, right?
Absolutely. I think you hit just about all of them. Yep.
Okay, good. That helps me out. Now I just got to find where I'm going to get that money to budget for it.
Right.
So
you know, how about I put you in touch with a Linux dealer?
There you go. And it's still cheaper than a car. So these days,
exactly, so. Exactly.
Okay.
It lasts
a lot
longer.
What about? Let's wrap it up with this. What about people that are just concerned about energy efficiency? They want to lower their monthly energy bills, and their system maybe is still working. It's kind of, you know, like my situation, you know, it cools the house, but you know, my electric bills are high, and it's not real comfortable in that it you know, like I said, it cycles on and off, and the house feels humid when it's not running and things like that. Is there a benefit for me to take the plunge early? And is there a cost savings that I might be able to achieve doing it early?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's not too uncommon, especially in the Linux high-efficiency products, to see homeowners take a preventative change out, you know, changing it out before their system actually fails. One, to improve comfort, and more importantly, to improve the efficiency, as you just hit on. Right now, there is a lot of money out there incentivizing high efficiency. I mentioned the federal mm-hmm. tax credit. There are also utility credits in local markets, and that varies widely across the U.S. And then there's, of course, the savings that you get on the energy efficiency and the electric usage in your home. Oftentimes, in most parts of the country, we will see that a homeowner who installs a high-efficient system just on the energy savings alone could have a simple payback of 8 to 10 years on the investment that they make in a high-efficiency system. So certainly it pays reoccurring benefits to you in your electric bill, and almost pays rent.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all the questions I have, Paul. How about you?
I think that's it. This has been helpful. Thank you.
Is there anything you want to, you know, maybe that we didn't cover, or questions we didn't ask, or any points you want to maybe get across to our listeners, Bill, before we wrap
up? You know, I think we've covered just about everything from. You know, getting your system running to proper maintenance. I guess the last item that I might put out there is that it is certainly always a good idea to have routine biannual maintenance
your
system. And most of the contractors out there will offer maintenance agreements where they'll come out twice a year and check it for you, and we can get on doing other household chores. So certainly an option out there. And again, like I said, anyone interested can certainly go to linux.com. and get more information about our equipment and dealers in your local area as well.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that, and that maintenance is always, you can prevent a lot of problems if you have that all scheduled.
Absolutely. It's an easy way to go, and drawing comparison to a car, you wouldn't drive a car 5 years without changing the oil or having it checked up. So,
right.
So it's certainly always a good idea to have a licensed contractor come out and do routine maintenance.
No, I got a lawnmower that I haven't changed oil in 5 years, and I'm kind of hoping it would die, but it just keeps on going.
So that's for another show.
You and I both.
All right. Well, Bill Cunningham from Linux. It's Linux.com, right?
That's correct. Absolutely.
And thank you very much for your time, Bill. And we'll let you know if any of our listeners call in with questions for you. Maybe we'll send them your way.
Absolutely, guys. And I really do appreciate you having me on. And thanks again. I enjoyed it.
Well, we thank you for listening to the Handy Guys podcast. That was an interesting interview. We always find good folks to interview.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. And
thanks to Bill from Linux
for
joining us. And it's helpful, Brian, I think, to know. Really, as a handy person, our tendency is just we want to dig into things, take things apart. But the fact is that your central air conditioning unit, your central heating, is really something you need to leave to the experts.
That's right. A lot of good tips from Bill. So Thanks again, Bill.
All right. Well, that's all we have on this week's episode. We hope that helps those of you that, like us, are getting ready to turn on your central units. For those of you in the southern areas, we hope that you get it serviced twice a year or so, and that it keeps on rolling on for you. Otherwise, there's some tax credits out there for you if you want to get a new unit, and you can contact your local Lennox dealer, whoever you recommend or desire for your new unit. So,
All right. That's it. Thanks.
All right. We'll see you next week on the Handy Guys podcast. If you want to ask a question,
the Handy
or even
Guys
provide
will
a show
be back
idea,
next week.
Email us at
same handy time, same handy website.